The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 19th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had Bethany, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "The village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here." "Why are you untying it?" "Just say this: the Lord needs it." So those who were sent departed and found it as Jesus had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I will tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out." The Gospel of our Lord. "Teacher, order your disciples to stop. Tell them to shut up, keep it down. Keep them silent now." Can you hear the fear in the Pharisees' urging? Can you hear them trying to control this parade? They're trying to stop the mass demonstration that you and I came upon this morning and actually joined. Let's see what's going on here. Jesus is riding a colt while his followers line the street and cheer him. The scene sends a powerful message. Jesus either assumes the power of a king, or even worse, he and his disciples mock the political leadership, in this case of the Romans, and of Caesar himself. And as we are all participating this morning, we too have come to be part of a movement that resists anything that does not serve life. Regular people living under an oppressive, occupying force praise Jesus. He's their spiritual leader. And Jesus, he is without protection. He's connected to God, yes. To his purpose, yes. He has his plan and his mind set on saving us all. But there he is, riding in utter vulnerability on the back of a donkey. He is peaceful, still, untethered. He follows the sacred script of his life. Now, maybe the multitude of his disciples protects him for now, but there is fear in the Pharisees' urging. "Order your people to stop, shut them up, get them to be silent now. You might even endanger us all." But Jesus answers, if these were silence, the stones would shout out. The stones would shout out. Now, you have seen some stones shout out, haven't you? The stones cry out in cities across Ukraine. Blackened walls of hollowed out apartment buildings wail over lives lost and people displaced. And the rubble echoes the stones. If you have time, you might read Habakkuk 2, where the stones cry out and the rafters shout back from the woodwork. Stones shout out in Yemen and Somalia, where mothers are unable to feed their children. Stones shout out in Washington. This is the names of those who served. Concrete walls covered with graffitis shout out in resistance against injustice, inequality, and exclusion. Black lives matter. And where silence still reigns, the stones will shout out in words of the prophets written in subway walls and tenement halls. Witness stones in a town in Connecticut, where a group of people sought to honor the humanity of the enslaved individuals who built that community. The stones shout out their stories and restore their memory. In downtown Boston, visitors leave stones at the Holocaust Memorial, and these stones too cry out, remember, remember. Stones shout out too against the sin of closing ourselves off in the face of suffering, closing ourselves off and lacking compassion. And then there are the gravestones set throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. They tell the suffering of a million people just in the US. There's no silencing those stones, but whoever participates in the pain of the community also gets to experience the healing and the solace that community provides as well. So if you, like me, feel a bit tearful right now, you're not alone. And maybe you find solace in the fact that Jesus himself, right after our text today, looks over Jerusalem and weeps. Now you may say, hey, it's Palm Sunday. Isn't that a light day on the start of Holy Week? Do things have to be so gloomy? Palms and sweaters could be fun. The brass ensemble makes a joyful noise today, and our congregational singing should be uplifting to all of us. Can't we have a little bit of a good time before things go downhill? We know what's coming at the end of this week. So why not be cheerful for a second? Well, you're right, of course, of course. Jesus' donkey ride is initially cheerful and lighthearted. But then, I don't know, there's a lot going on here. Jesus' followers cheer him on and they affirm him. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest heavens. What about peace on earth? You do remember this adoration It does sound familiar, right? When you think back to Christmas, the angels sang in the night Jesus was born, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those who he favors. Do you notice the difference? So when Jesus is born, a vulnerable baby in the night in Bethlehem, the angels sing of peace on earth. And today, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, vulnerable again, the chant of Jesus' followers is peace in heaven. Is peace on earth out of sight? Does it seem unobtainable? So I don't know exactly what's going on here, but my guess is that the multitude of Jesus' followers was there at the very beginning, just like we are here at the very beginning of Vivian's life with Christ. And maybe over a lifetime of following Jesus, things have changed. Faith has developed. Adversity has come our way, and we prevailed. We struggled with a God who does not save us from everything, and we have prevailed. We asked, God save, which, by the way, is the literal translation of Hosanna. But maybe he has not always saved. So then maybe the followers of Jesus today are just not quite so naive. They have seen things. They have learned stuff. And they kept walking with Jesus. They've seen the conflict too between the powers to be and the religious leaders and Jesus's teaching, which is all encompassing, all inviting, never excluding. They have seen the conflict. But think about how your faith has developed over your lifetime. When we are born and things go well, parents and family witness the peace that is around a baby that is sleeping and breathing quietly. Everything seems possible. Hope is so pertinent. And so near Bethlehem, peace on earth seemed within reach. And we still hold on to that promise. But as we followed Jesus, we saw him grow into his own. We saw him separate from family and parents, as children do. And yet, we stayed with the promise that Jesus' grace is all-encompassing. So today, at the beginning of Holy Week, to Jerusalem. To me, he seems untethered, peaceful, still, in the face of vulnerability. He enters the city as the king, lover of all faithful to his death, a person sent in the name of God, the ruler of the universe, who wants to connect with us all, once and for all. Peace in the highest heaven, because we too want to connect with God, with God's reign, with God's kingdom. As we greet Jesus and see him riding peacefully along his path, we learn with him to detach, to find stillness and peace in our heart of faith. In following Jesus, our faith can grow and we can widen our hearts. And as our faith grows up, we sing our own songs of God's glory and power in our lives. Can you wait to hear Vivian sing? But maybe, as we come along, as the crowd does, maybe we need to shed a few layers of New England winter sweaters. Imagine wearing a heavy coat, a cloak, so to speak. Your coat is your life circumstances and your worldly being. Your coat is what you have done and left undone. Your coat is what has separated you unnecessarily from others. I love it. I love it. That's her Hosanna. Your coat is how you protected yourself, sometimes needlessly. And this coat is buttoned up to your neck. It constricts your breathing and makes your chest feel heavy. Imagine undoing that button and feeling the coat loosen. Feel the relief that is a representation of letting go of your tight hold on who you are. Allow yourself to be who God wants you to be. And finally, imagine taking the coat off and spreading it on the path. You may, as you take a look around, see the clothes you shed throughout your life. The clothes you wore as a child, remember? Those shirts and pants and dresses and bows. And you grew out of them. We can leave the garments we shed with the teacher who helped us grow up. We can leave them with the one who saves us when we are vulnerable. We can be who we are in God. And we can leave our burdensome clothes with the Lamb of God, who understands both our need for protection and our vulnerability. Just for a second, imagine. Imagine the cloaks and hoodies and sweaters and pants and dresses and gowns and robes of justices, uniforms of soldiers. Imagine it all. For now, and as we baptize Vivian today, let's remember that in baptism, we are clothed in Christ. We are all invited to remember that through baptism, we cannot be separated from Christ. And because of this life-saving connection, we can wear the world like a loose garment. And all things touch us, but lightly. We can adapt and learn and allow God to open the way to new experiences. We can take courage to follow God, stepping out of our own comfort zone, trusting that God sets a good path before us. And as surely as we die daily in Christ, we also affirm we are resurrected daily with Christ. We live an inner life with God while doing our work in the world. We live and move through life, trusting in God's promise for us. Amen.
Thank you.